The brick structure sagged on its foundation, front doors padlocked shut, roof disintegrated from the inside out. Bobby took a right, passing a second structure, which was smaller and in even greater disrepair. Cars were stacking up roadside now, parked bumper to bumper as detectives' vehicles, ME's van, and crime scene technicians all vied for space. The spotlights beckoned farther out, however. A distant glow in the shrouded woods. Bobby could just hear the hum of the generator, brought in on the crime scene van to power the party. Apparently he had a hike ahead of him. He parked in an overgrown field next to three patrol cars, grabbed a flashlight, paper, and pen. Then, on second thought, a warmer jacket. The November night was cool, down in the 40s, and frosted with a light mist. No one was around, but the beam of his flashlight illuminated the trampled path blazed by the death investigators who'd come before him. His boots made heavy, tromping sounds as he went. He could still hear the generator, but no voices yet. He ducked beneath some bushes, feeling the earth grow marshy beneath his feet before firming up again. He passed a small clearing, noticed a refuse pile, rotting wood, bricks, some plastic buckets. Illegal dumping had been a problem on the ground for years, but most of that was by the fence line. This was too deep in. Probably leftovers from the asylum itself, or maybe one of the recent building projects. Old, new, he couldn't tell in this kind of light. Noise grew louder, the hum of the generator building to a dull roar. He ducked his head into the collar of his jacket, shielding his ears. As a 10-year veteran patrol officer, Bobby had attended his fair share of crime scenes. He knew the noise. He knew the smell. But this was his first scene as a bona fide detective. He thought that's why it felt so different. Then he cleared another line of trees and came to an abrupt halt. Guys, everywhere. Most in suits, probably 15, 18 detectives, and easily a dozen uniforms. Then there were the men with the graying hair and the thick woolen overcoats, senior officers, most of whom Bobby recognized from various retirement parties for other big guns. He spotted a photographer, four crime scene techs. Finally, a lone female. If memory served, she was an ADA, assistant district attorney. A lot of people, particularly given Boston's longstanding policy of demanding a written report from anyone who entered a crime scene. That had a tendency to keep gawking patrol officers out and, even more important, the brass away. But everyone was here tonight, pacing small circles in the glow of the blazing spotlights, stomping their feet for warmth. Ground zero appeared to be the blue awning erected toward the back of the clearing, but from this angle, Bobby still couldn't see any signs of remains or evidence of a crime scene, even beneath the protective cover of the tarp. He saw a field, a tent, and a lot of very quiet death investigators. It made the hairs rise up on the back of his neck. A rustling sound came from his left. Bobby turned to see two people entering the clearing from a second path. At front was a middle-aged woman in full Tyvek, followed by a younger man, her assistant. Bobby recognized the woman immediately. Christy Callahan from the OCME, Office of the Chief Medical Examiner.